Good evening. It's nice to be with you again here in the Gospel here in Aleven. My name's actually Gareth, it's not Gary, but that's not important, don't worry about it. It's only my name. I've been called lots of different things, but never mind. If you have a Bible with you tonight, can we read together in the book of Genesis? In the book of Genesis, our youth club, Mark Coleman and Lady Mike, will do our youth club every Friday night, and the kids from the village come in and we play some games with them. We've been working through Genesis with them. We thought it would be nice to have some consecutive messages with them rather than a message here and a message there. We thought we'd go through Genesis. So we started with Genesis 1 and we've been working through there. So I thought tonight we could look at some very simple stories, but very important stories in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, reading from verse 1, it says this. It says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Verse 6, "And God said, let there be a firmament." Verse 9, "And God said, let there be waters under the heaven." And verse 11 says again, "And God said," and it carries on through the chapter, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven." Verse 14, verse 20, God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly." Over to 24 it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind." Verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 29, "And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which is in the foot of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and the hosts of them, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all the work which God created and made. And then sure the Lord will add a blessing to reading of his holy word. We'll read again. But let's talk about first about God's creation. I want to tell you something very important. I believe exactly what it says here in the word of God that we've read tonight. I believe what the Bible says about creation. I believe that God created it, the world, in 6 days. And I believe what it says here in chapter 2, the beginning of it, that God rested on that seventh day. I don't believe in this Big Bang theory or any other kind of theory you prepare to give to me. I believe the word of God is very important. This section that we've read together can be summarised with the phrase, "God created." And that's my first heading for you tonight. God created. What God said happened, and it happens at the power of his word, because what God said happens. It didn't happen by mistake or an accident or anything like that. It happened. And the word of God. If we were to consecutively read through all of chapter 1, we would learn that 5 times we would read this phrase, "And God saw that it was good." And the 6th time, which we actually read there in verse 31, it says, "And God said, it was very, God saw it was very good." God's creation was perfect, completely perfect, different from what the world we live in today. It was perfect. And into this perfect creation, he placed a man and a woman. 9 times we read just now, "And God said," "And God said." It happened at the power of his word. Everything that we read happens at the power of his word. And we're reminded, because of that, 6 times it says, "It was so." 6 times it says, "It was so." The world that we read about in Genesis 1, like I said, is different from the world today. It was perfect. the one there had no sin and there was no death. If I make things, practically if I were to repair things, you'll find that there'll be flaws in it. Because I'm not very good with my hands. I'm not like my father who wasn't very good, or his father before him who was quite good. I'm pretty poor and average with my hands. But everything that God makes, that God made, was perfect. Psalm 24 verse 1 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In creation, you have divine ownership. All that you have here belongs to God. The world is God's, it was created by him. And the reality is this, that you and I were created by God. And we have a responsibility tonight to acknowledge God, not just as a God, but as our God. It has to be personal tonight. We must know God as our God. God is the perfect creator. All that he has done is perfect. God created. Go then to verse 7 of chapter 2. Verse 7 of chapter 2, it says this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15 it says, and the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I wonder what you're like at following instructions. I'm not very good at following instructions. The people that I work with, they've got to kind of follow my instructions. And if I give them instructions to go somewhere, they're well aware that my instructions are kind of ropey. If you've got to go to a certain place, they've got to normally ask someone for directions when they get kind of close, because my directions aren't very good. But instructions, maybe you get yourself a new phone, for example, and if you don't follow the instructions exactly, it's not going to create major problems for you. But perhaps you buy yourself a new toaster and you don't read the instructions. You think, you know, I quite fancy toast in the bath. If you don't follow the instructions for that, the reality is the repercussions of your actions may be huge. Adam and Eve were given one commandment, weren't they? They were given one commandment. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day that thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God commanded, and God is sovereign. We must listen to what God has to say. So go into chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, and the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, ye have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the trees of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Verse 21. And to Adam also, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now let he put forth his hand and take forth of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. This section that we read just now is quite serious, isn't it? It's very serious. We talked just now about how God gave Adam and Eve one command, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we now read of their disobedience towards God. The Bible tells us that is sin. It tells us that it's sin. The Bible tells us this. It tells us that you have sinned and I have sinned. Because Adam and Eve had sinned, as a result, you and I are sinners. What is sin? Sin is disobedience against God. It can be the smallest little thing. It could be a lie. It could be theft. It could be murder. It could be any of these things. And the reality is this. All of us have sinned. It tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has a standard. The standard is perfection. The standard for staying in that garden was to not eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they ate, and they were cast out, weren't they? We read about that at the end. They were cast out of the garden. Our sin has separated us from God. It has separated us from God. And the consequence of our sins, an eternal separation from God. An eternal separation, not just for just now, but for all eternity. Because God is a holy God. God is holy and can't allow sin into his presence. In creation, we looked at creation at the beginning, didn't we? And in creation, it was completely perfect. But now, there is sin. There is sin into the picture. And the sin has to be dealt with. God asked Adam and Eve the question. He asked them this question, where art thou? Where art thou? It wasn't that God didn't know where they were. God knows each and every one of us. He knows you, and he knows me completely. He knows our life. And yet he loves us, which is incredible. Even though he knows your innermost heart, that God loves you. The reason the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came to this earth to die on that cross at Calvary was because of love. Our sin has separated us from God, and there's nothing we can do with our own merit, by our own works, that we can merit anything of worth before God. But the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he took that punishment of sin for us. And God wants us to believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That verse was quoted, wasn't it? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe in him and ask him into our life. Look into chapter 4. It says this, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of the flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, and to his offering. But unto Cain, and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto your strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall there be in the earth. We've thought of God's creation, haven't we? That was the first thing. God the Creator. We thought we had God called. And now we're thinking about the curse. The curse. Here we have two brothers. Two brothers. And each of these brothers brought an offering before God. And one is acceptable and one isn't. Now every time I come here, there's people that will say to me, Gareth, you're like your father, or Gareth, you're like your uncle, or so on. These two brothers were like the mum and dad. They were sinners. They were both sinners. And each of these brothers brought an offering to God. One was acceptable, one wasn't. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, he brought something from the first flocks, a lamb, or something like that, or a goat, something from the flocks, and it would be killed and set and used as an offering to God. And Abel's was acceptable before God, and Cain's wasn't. Maybe you find that if somebody tells you off for doing something wrong, and you're shown what the right way is to go, your gut reaction is you don't want anything to do it. You want to do it my way. It's all about my way, isn't it? And that's the world we live in. People want to do things my way. And that's what Frank Sinatra sang. Wasn't he sang about doing it my way? God has one way. We can't do it any other way. Lord Jesus Christ said, No man cometh to the Father but by me. The only way we can have our sins forgiven, the badness in our life that separates us from God, is by coming to God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it for me, I can't do it for you. It's a personal thing. Cain should have gone back, take something from the flocks, and offered that as an acceptable sacrifice before God. But he didn't do that. And he killed his brother. That great sin. But our sin is no different from your sin or from my sin. We've all sinned. And just like the sin of his mother and father separated him from God in the Garden of Eden, the sin here again separates. That's what sin does. Sin separates us from God. It separates us from God. And the curse that he's given as well. The curse that sin affects us now. If you were to reject God tonight, if you were to reject him, one day when you die, God will reject you, just as you have rejected us. There's nothing you can do in your own strength to do with anything of your sins. But it's wonderful, it's already been done for you. God sent his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his own Son, and he lived a perfect life. There was no sin in him, none. He never sinned. And men nailed him to a cross at Calvary. He was put to death as a sacrifice for sin. But he rose victorious over death and over the hell in the grave. He rose after 3 days. The just for the unjust. He took the punishment that you and I deserve. We must come before God. We must come his way. Cain tried under his terms and his way, and he failed. His offering wasn't acceptable, but there was a chance for him to come before God, but he rejected it. I don't know if you've noticed that there seems to be an election just now. I don't know if you've noticed it. I've had one or two things through the post, and I've just been at the door, and I thought I'd pick up some of the junk mail that comes in. And there's a phrase that one of the parties said, and they're all talking about change. They're all talking about change. And one of them says, change that works for you. And these political parties are offering to, that a vote for them will change your life. A vote for them will change your life because of what they're going to do. What I'm telling you tonight is a change that will work for you, but it's not for work that's already been done. It's not what we're going to do. It's work that's been done. The work that was done on Calvary's cross. It's for you. Change that works for you. Vote for change. Vote for change. These things are only temporal. I won't be wasting my time voting. This is more important than just 4 years of political nonsense. It's a change that can change your whole life. Knowing the joy of having your sins forgiven. Knowing the joy of having a Saviour. Because that's why He came to die. He came to die for your sins. And He can change your life. He can change your life. What have we thought about tonight? What have we thought about? We thought about creation. How the earth was created by the Word of God. And God said. We thought about how it was good. It was perfect in creation. It was very good. Then we thought in chapter 2, we thought of the commandment that Adam and Eve were given. That commandment. Of every tree of the garden they may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they shall not eat of it. Then we thought of Adam and Eve, their sin. We thought of the result of that sin, death, and how death affects us all. And we thought of Cain and Abel. And we thought of two sacrifices, one acceptable, one not, one God's way, one man's way. And then we thought about a choice. Just like that choice we made on Thursday, this is a change for all eternity, not just for today or for tomorrow. I trust that as you consider these things, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, that you will trust in Him, you will believe in Him, and know Him as your own and personal Saviour, where you can truly change your life for all eternity. Let's go to the word of prayer. Our God and Father, we come before you in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, that men and women and boys and girls can know the joy of having their sins forgiven and knowing a real change in their life. We pray if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know that joy, that tonight they'll make that decision to know thy Son as their own and personal Saviour. We give thanks for all that you've done for us, and we ask that you take us home safely soon. For we ask these things in the name of thy Son, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.